A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello, welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
More than 1,000 parliaments across Europe have signed a letter strongly opposing plans by Israel to annex parts of the occupied bank, which of course is going to cause enormous amounts of trouble, as you know.
It's going to cause, yeah, problems. Yeah.
More than 240 signatories and are legislators in Britain. Let's talk to Jerry Lewis, London correspondent for Israel Radio. Jerry, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, James.
You better tell us the full story, because it doesn't seem like the British media is talking about this at all.
Well, one or two parts of the media have touched on it. It's a very complicated story, not quite as you announced at the beginning. First of all, Mark Regev, the ambassador, left the end of last week. Yeah. He's gone back to Israel. He's done his term of office, and I think he was the spokesman you were referring to. He was the ambassador.
I've spoken to him a few times. Apparently there is nobody at the embassy that could talk to the media.
Yeah, he's left now. I saw the other day the pictures, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just look at the situation with Israel. And I make this very clear right from the beginning. I explain what Israel's position is. I don't defend it. I work for the equivalent of the BBC in Israel, so I can't take a side. The right in Israel, far right, and the moderate right wings of the political spectrum believe that they've got a claim on parts of the West Bank. Mm. It was never officially Jordanian. It's disputed territory. The opponents to the claims from Israel maintain it is an illegal occupation that Israel carrying out. Israel turns around and says, well, it's not an occupation. It was nobody's territory before. There never was a Palestinian state prior to 1967 or 1948. So the Palestinians can't claim it as theirs. What Israel maintains very strongly is there should be negotiations with the Palestinians, and that's what Donald Trump and his crew have tried to facilitate. It is not to the liking of the Europeans, especially not to certain European countries, and that includes Britain and lots of other international countries who take a view that Israel shouldn't be so expansionist.
Okay, well, we should talk to somebody from the embassy when they've got a new ambassador, I suppose. But should the United Kingdom not have been involved more with these discussions rather than the Americans? I mean, we are the nation that actually helped found Israel.
Agreed, absolutely. But Britain has abdicated its responsibilities. In 1948, they left the area. They left it to the United Nations to split the country in two parts, the Arab side and the Israeli side. That was done. The Arabs, unfortunately, attacked Israel in 1948, and it's been the scene of contention ever since. Israel was, under the previous administrations, under the Labour Party and other governments, prepared to make some offers of conciliation and to agree a full settlement with the Palestinians. They had the marvellous opportunity when a guy called Ehud Olmert was the Prime Minister, and also his colleague Ehud Barak. They both offered deals to the Palestinians, firmly rejected, and in those circumstances, it's been a stalemate ever since.
Well, it actually moves more to the right, doesn't it, as a consequence. When they don't manage to get peace, it seems to lurch
absolutely.
More.
Absolutely. Just bear in mind one small factor. lots of the people who live in the West Bank aren't necessarily addicted to the ideas of the far right or the right wing in Israel.
No.
Some of them have gone there for cheap housing, which has been a policy of the governments, successive governments in Israel. And if they had the opportunity, I've no doubt they could move back into Israel proper, as some people see it, if they were given proper housing.
But it does strengthen. It does strengthen negotiations, I suppose. They're more negotiation chips, I suppose, for
absolutely, absolutely. And it's not an easy one. You predicted at the beginning of your opening there could be an all-out war. Israel is maintaining, look, all we're doing is taking some of the existing settlements that's built on already, housing, into Israel proper, giving it legal and administrative controls over Israel's controls over those particular sections of the West Bank.
And there are actually Palestinian villages within Israel, aren't there?
There are Arab, lots of Arab villages and towns up north in Israel, where even in Haifa, Israelis and Arabs live very happily side by side without any.
But they don't want Israelis living Arabs in the Palestinian part.
That's difference good. Between Arabs and Palestinians, they're not quite the same. So make it very clear. What is important is that the government itself is split. Netanyahu won an election, but could only take power with the agreement of part of the opposition, led by a guy called Benny Gantz. He changed sides from being on the centre and middle left, if you can call it that way, to join Netanyahu. But the Netanyahu and Gantz, who is the alternative prime minister, are at daggers drawn on this issue. They haven't agreed.
We'll keep in touch, Jerry, and see how this goes over the next few months.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
Airports are warning of 110,000 job losses as the coronavirus pandemic devastates flying holidays to Europe, Caribbean, and anywhere you can think about it. They're talking about air bridges, but how are the airlines ever going to get back? And it looks as if Gatwick Airport's complete existence may actually come into question, which is horrendous, really. But, it, you know, maybe we can all get on more without flying so much. Who knows? Let's talk to Lisa Francesca Nand, a presenter of the Big Travel Podcast.
Yeah,
Lisa.
Hello, nice to speak to you both.
Hello.
Well, you say
Hello.
That now. Yeah.
I've always said that, James. You always used to bring me courgettes, I remember, when I was with you on TalkSport.
Is that a euphemism?
I remember.
Nice courgettes, yeah.
I just think, you know, I just think you had eyes for ash.
Well, that's just a natural thing, isn't it?
What red-blooded woman doesn't, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Anyway, listen, before we have a chat, let's talk about this air bridges and the end of flying as we know it. What's going on?
Oh, it's terrifying, really. And we've been saying this since the beginning of lockdown. In the aviation industry, the travel industry, all over the world, things were being hit hard anyway. You know, here, Brexit meant a few, closures. Who would have thought that Thomas Cook would have gone? Who would have thought that Monarch, IBM, all these big
names. That was before the coronavirus, wasn't it, Thomas Cook? As well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was even before the coronavirus. You know, we were in trouble before the coronavirus.
And that airline, what was the little airline that did the local flights that went?
BMI. Flybe.
Yeah. Flybe, yeah.
You know, all the big names that people used to take all the time, and you know, now they've gone. And that was exactly right. That was before the coronavirus crisis. So, you know, the airline and the aviation industry is in a major bit of trouble. And, you know, let's not forget that cascades down, doesn't it? All those jobs, engineering, the catering, you know, the people working at duty free.
Baggage handlers now at Gatwick, of course, looks like they're going to make a lot of them redundant.
Affects everything.
You know, the cleaners, the people that make the food, the people that do the catering, the people who, you know, feed them.
The whole local economy, you know, the restaurants and the housing market, I suppose everything is affected.
Exactly. All around the airport areas. It's just the horror of it. You know, it's not just about, you can't go on your holiday this year and people, you know, saying, shall we go on holiday? It's about all that industry around it. And it is really terrifying. You know, you've got BA talking about making thousands of job cuts. Virgin talking about making 3,000 or 4,000, TUI talking about making up to 8,000, I think. And like you said, you know, Gatwick going, BA possibly pulling out of Gatwick. It's all, it sounds like a horror story, but it actually could be very real.
No, I mean, I was thinking in the next weekend or so, I might jump in my car and drive down to Honfleur in Normandy, where I used to have a house. And
I don't think you can do
weekend.
That. It's got to be essential.
Can't.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, you can't.
No, you can. You can go.
You can't come back, can you? Yeah, you have to come back for 2 weeks. You'll have to be...
Oh, yeah, of course. You have to quarantine when you
Mind
come
you,
back.
You are quarantined anyway.
Yeah, but I can't really do that. No. I think that will be... I can't suddenly say I want to take 2 weeks off when I'm... No. You know, yeah.
You can present the show from home, can't you? Because I know you've done that before. But anyway, no, you're
right.
I'm doing it now from home.
Yeah, it's been for about the last year now.
It wouldn't change anything for you. But for lots of people, you know, they can't quarantine. They've already had all this time, or they might be furloughed. If you can, if you're self-employed or can work from home, great. Go on holiday now. You can get an absolute bargain. But not many people can, you know, afford to go on holiday for 2 weeks and then come back and quarantine for 2 weeks. However, I mean, how long is this quarantine going to stay around? I think it will probably be... you know, gone not, at least by the end of the month, or as you mentioned previously, the air corridors or air bridges that they're talking about. We reckon those will probably be in place with the main countries we go on holiday, Spain, France, Greece. So we have an agreement that people don't have to quarantine when they come here, and we don't have to quarantine when we go there. They think that will be hopefully be in place by the 1st of July. But the government's briefings, they change daily on this. You know,
well, no one even knows what the rules are now. No one bothers. You just have to try, you know, because it changes every other day.
Lisa Francesca Nand, former presenter on Talk Radio, now presenter of the Big Travel Podcast.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sean Bailey, who pledges to reverse the congestion charge if he becomes mayor in the next mayoral elections. Good evening to you. You've organised a petition and you've pledged to reverse it. But apparently, according to a Labour spokesperson, the Tory government forced TfL to bring forward urgent proposals to increase the scope and level of the congestion charge as part of the recent funding deal. It is clearly written in the deal for all to see. The Tories should stop this desperate nonsense immediately and apologise for lying.
I'll say two things to that. Firstly, we're in this position because Sadiq Khan ran TfL's finances into the ground. TfL were bankrupt long before COVID struck. The second piece is, if I'm lying, why on Good Morning Britain did Sadiq Khan himself admit that it's his decision, his and TfL, he's the chairman of TfL's, decision to increase the scope of the congestion charge and also increase the cost? He admitted that himself. The reason London Labour are putting out these things is because they've just realised how unpopular it is to people, but more importantly, how it's going to crush business in London, just as we need to help those businesses rebuild our economy, and also all of the emergency workers who have to work, who have to social distance, can't use their cars because of this, because they would pay hundreds of pounds.
It's a two-tier system, so the rich, it won't affect them, and the poor is like the man in the van, it's going to affect him, and this is the Labour mayor.
Exactly. And if you speak to anybody who runs a small business who needs to move around in a little van, if it's anything from a florist to a builder, anybody, they'll tell you this is the difference between taking
Nobody drives really because they like it. I mean, I live a long way from a railway station. I mean, I could drive in, but it seems pointless. I can just get on the motorway and drive into London. I park just outside the congestion charge. And also, when I go home in the evenings, it can be later than... you know, finish about 10, then it's a bit of a chat afterwards, and who knows what time. I don't want to be travelling late at night on public transport when they're
just... And people
just
at the weekend might want to
drunks.
Just come for lunch in London, they won't come anymore.
No, nobody's going to come. It's 15 quid a day.
Look, the bottom line is this. This is not about people driving around in circles in London for fun. This is about people who have to use their car for safety reasons. So I spoke to a young woman who works very late and said the difference between driving home and not is fear. It's very different. Yeah. I spoke to hundreds of businesses who have said, Sean, I may have to lay people off and I certainly won't take anybody on if I'm having to pay these charges. And the thing is this. We don't drive our cars for the fun of it. We drive our cars only necessary. Things like parking and traffic make driving difficult enough. So this isn't about driving for fun. This is about building businesses. This is about keeping people safe. And this is about social distancing.
Mm. And you know, the congestion charge has now gone up until 10 o'clock at night. And it's on weekends as well. Yeah. So if you were figuring on coming to London for the weekend, and maybe taking a trip out to somewhere like, lots of the outlying tourist spots in and around London, it's going to cost you £15 every day. Plus, if you park in London, it's going to cost you £50-60 a day. Sorry.
What it means is people won't come. And in London, one of our proudest boasts are we're the engine of the UK economy. Well, if that's the case, let's have some oil for this engine. And that means people, initially, this wouldn't be forever, but it means initially people have to be able to move around. I don't need to tell everybody what the effect of lockdown has been on our economy. Mm. And I don't need to tell everybody if our high streets die, it really affects the neighbourhood around it. And this is about defending jobs, our high street, letting people move around safely and quickly. And I make this point. I know that your listeners are all over the country and many of them thinking, London, who cares? But the point is, this is about business. This is about all of us. This is about rebuilding our economy. We need London to tick. And this measure is completely the wrong thing to do at this time.
Talk Radio should get you and Sadiq Khan and anybody else who's standing in the mayoral race, which is, what is it, in November this year?
It's not happening now, is it?
It's not happening.
It's postponed a year.
It won't happen until May next year. It's been postponed a year because of the COVID outbreak.
Yeah, okay. Well, at some point, get you together. I'd love to hear you arguing it out.
James, you know I'd love to do that, but it's two things I say. If you want a sensible conversation, you might have to get us on one by one, and I guarantee you Sadiq Khan won't turn up. The rest of them, they're good sorts. Sean and the rest of them, I speak to them all the time. Of course, we don't agree on everything, but we're at least civil. They come with real suggestions, even the ones I don't quite agree with. But I think sometimes all Khan does is throw mud, muddy the waters, and dodge people. He's constantly dodging taking any of us on, not just me.
Sean, thank you very much indeed. I'm sure we will talk again in the near future. And thanks for coming on and explaining this. Sean Bailey, candidate for the mayor of London next year. Thank you.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
One of your particular friends.
Some was a friend ago. You was a friend of yours as well.
Yeah, but I think you were more friendly than
me. Well, I don't know about that.
I think you were.
I was probably more of a friend than you were, yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah.
I think she liked you more than me.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
With a lava lamp, would you have a lava lamp on?
I probably would, yeah. I probably would have done. Along with my...
And a kaftan, would you have had joysticks burning?
I did have joysticks. I've still got joysticks here now, yeah. If you come into my house.
I've always said that, James. You always used to bring me courgettes, I remember, when I was with you on TalkSport.
Is that a euphemism?
I haven't burnt my face, it's just brown.
Well, it's red.
Well, it's not red at all.
It's red.
What
it's
are
like you
talking about?
Burnt yourself or something. What's that? And, yeah, a man, and his manservant.
I have not got a manservant.
Oh, sorry, yeah, he hasn't got the manservant on air. You've there retweeted your own Twitter. Thing. How vulgar. You retweet your own video. That is really vulgar.
Well, I thought that's what you were meant to do. You told me
I mean,
to do
now
things like that.
Twice in a row. Just look.
That was the clips for today. The worst of Whale, or sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.